Can I thank our brother for his words of welcome? It's a joy and a privilege for me to be with you tonight. Last weekend, I didn't think I'd be able to make it at all. Last weekend, I was at a funeral, and I went over on my ankle on an old injury that I had. And last weekend, I had to get my son to go and preach for me at another engagement. But I said to my wife, you can drive me down tonight, and I wanted to be here tonight because as I look across the congregation, I've made so many friends down through the years here in this part of God's work. And it's a joy and a privilege, and thank you for your invitation. Could we turn to John chapter 3, please? We're going to read some verses in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, a well-known portion of God's word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. Just before I would give a word of testimony and bring a short word, to be asked, Lord, to bless the reading of his own precious word. Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight through our Saviour and through that precious shed blood. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll use this testimony to your honour and glory. Lord, hide man behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Father, we pray that your name will be glorified through what you've done in my life. Now, Lord, if there be one in this meeting and they can't say, it is well with their soul. Lord, I pray that they might come and put their trust in thee. Lord, I pray that you'll undertake, for we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. If you were to ask me many, many years ago that I would be standing in Hebron Free Presbyterian Church and an elder in the Free Presbyterian Church, and I would be going around our churches singing, preaching for the Lord, I would have told you to scratch your head. I was brought up in the city of Belfast in a place called Donegal Pass. So anybody that knows Shaftesbury Square, in Belfast, Donegal Pass runs down off Shaftesbury Square. I was brought up in a family of five girls and one boy, and I'm the only boy. And I was the baby of the family, some baby. And my sisters used to say that I was mommy's boy, that I got everything that mommy wanted. But you know, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. But in those days, the folks in Belfast believed in sending their children to Sunday school and sending them along the different meetings. And I remember going to a little mission hall in Apsley Street, and there I had a faithful Sunday school teacher called Davy Stewart. And Mr. Stewart had about 12 boys in his class. And you know, in those days you went up with your class, as you got that older, you moved up with your same teacher. And you know, each one of those boys came to know the Lord as their own and personal Saviour. And I was the only one in the class that didn't know the Lord as my Saviour. I became the age of 15, ready to leave school. I did not like school. The only time I liked school was on sports day. And I remember when I was 15 leaving school, the headmaster said to me, Gilmore, if you had been as interested in schoolwork than you were in football and sport, you'd have been a genius. I just hated school and couldn't wait to get out. I remember going to Mr. Stewart, that old faithful man of God, and I remember the tears in his eyes as I told him that I wouldn't be back to Sunday school. And he said to me, "Tommy, I have one verse to leave with you. And that verse is, my spirit shall not always strive with man." Tommy, if God's spirit is speaking to you to come to the Saviour, you need to come to him. And I said, "Well, Mr. Stewart will think about it." And I went away into the world. My whole ambition was to be a professional footballer. As I said, I lived in the streets of Belfast. They were just one up and two down. The toilet outside and a yard. And that was the type of house that we lived in. All we could do as young people would be kick football in the street or go round to the Armour Baths, swimming round there. But my great love was football, and that was my whole ambition. I remember starting working J.P. Curry's down at the docks, and then I got a job as an apprentice electrician. I went down to work at Cordall's, a big job that we were doing down there. And one of the men that we worked with was a man called Stanley Gregg, who played for Linfield football team. And he would play football with us young apprentices at lunchtime. And I didn't know that the manager of Carrick Rangers was watching. And he approached me one day and he asked me if I would come and sign for Carrick Rangers. And this was my whole life. This was my whole ambition. Then I left Carrick Rangers and went to play for Distillery. I think they're now called Lisburn Distillery. And then I went to play for Ards football team. And this was my whole life. I had no thought of salvation and no thought of anything. All I looked forward to was Tuesday night training, Thursday night training, and playing football on Saturday. I remember I had a friend of mine who was coming home from the army, and I was to meet him one Sunday night. And I told him I would meet him the following Sunday. He was coming home from the army. But I was walking up Royal Avenue one night, away back in 1966 in September. And as I was walking up, there was an open air outside the City Hall. And the first verse that hit me between the eyes as I was walking up was, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And I remembered all that Mr. Stewart had told me. And I remember all that he told me that I needed to be saved. But you know, he used to say to me, "Tommy, you need to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior." But I said, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I go to church. I go to the Sunday school. I go to children's meetings." But he said, he showed me in the scriptures, he says, "Tommy, in the sight of God, all your righteousness are like filthy rags." And this all started to come back to me. I remember on the Monday coming to the bus to meet the young men, and all the apprentices used to sit at the back of the bus. And we used to sit and talk about all the sin we got up to over the weekend. And the young man said to me, "Tommy, what's wrong with you? You're not as jokey today. There's something wrong with you." You know, my friend, I didn't know, but it was God's Spirit dealing with me. I was under conviction and I didn't realize it. And all that week, the young man said to me, "What is wrong with you? You're not your normal self." But you know, God was dealing with me. The Spirit of God was dealing with me. And I remember that Sunday, the following Sunday, walking into a church, sitting in the back of the church in Great Victoria Street. The caretaker had to come and tell me that the meeting was over. I walked out of the church and I said, "Lord Jesus, Mr. Stewart said, if I call upon your name, that you'll save me." And I said, "Lord Jesus, I'm only a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Wash me in your blood." And you know, that night, the Lord Jesus came into my life. Now, I was to meet my friend Bobby. And the only place that you could get drink, I never really got a taste for drink. You know, when I was playing football, I would have gone into the bars with the other boys, but I would have taken Coca-Cola or some other thing. I never really got a taste for drink. But you know, I was meeting this man, and as I was approaching Bobby, he looked at me and he said, "There's something different about you." I says, "Bobby, you know, I've just got saved." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, suppose you'll not be coming in here with me. The Lord had prepared a way for me." And I said, "That's right." And I went home. And I'd done something that I'd never done in my life. My mother was washing the dishes. And I lifted the dishcloth. Now, if you'd have told me what a dishcloth was for, because remember, there were five other girls in the house, and they were doing all the drying of the dishes. And my mommy said to me, "What's wrong with you?" And I says, "Mommy, I got saved tonight." And she said to me, "Son, that's good." She wasn't saved herself at that time. But she told me something. She said, "You know, your daddy's, your grandmother was a Christian. And when she found out I was pregnant, she prayed for you that I would get saved." And you know, that night I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I started to go back to the football. But you know, the interest started to go away from the football. I knew that there was something wrong. I had no desire for it. And I came up to one of the managers and I said, "I'll not be back." And he said, "Tommy, what's wrong?" And I says, "I got saved." And again, he looked at me as I had two heads. But you know, friends, the Bible says, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things became new." And you know, I had no love, I had no desire anymore for football. The only desire I had was to work and do something for the Lord. I started to meet some friends and we started to have an open air down in the front of the city hall, the very place where I heard the gospel being preached. And I used to play a guitar in those days, and there was girls that would sing, and I would play for them. But this night the girls couldn't come, and the man that was leading the open air, he said, "Our brother is going to bring a message and song." And I was looking around for the brother who was bringing the message and song. And the next thing, the microphone was stuck in my mouth. And that's what started me off singing. But that night as well, I gave my testimony. And I told about playing football and giving up the football. But this wee man approached me and he said, "I'm from the Christian Workers Union. I always have to check with my wife because I always get that wrong. Was that right?" "Right." He says to me, "I want you to come and give your testimony and I want you to sing." And I says, "I can't sing." He said, "What are you only after doing?" So I went up. But my wife, who was my girlfriend at that time, she said to me, "You better look at the Belfast Telegraph announcements where the church services were." And I looked up this service and it said, "Come and hear the man who played for Glasgow Rangers giving his testimony." It wasn't Glasgow Rangers at all, it was Carrick Rangers. And I'll tell you, I panicked because up around that area they were Glasgow Rangers in the brain. But you know, it was a joy and a privilege. But I said, "Lord, I want to do something for you." And you know, a friend of mine said to me, "You need to get to a good church." And he says, "I have the very place for you. There's a wee place on the Ravenhill Road at Glenturn Street." And he said, "You'll enjoy it." I remember walking through the door and the clerk of session, Mr. Nickel, in those days, and Mr. Newman and Mr. Gunning approached me and made me feel really at home. And you know, when I heard Dr. Paisley preaching, when I heard those men and women praying at the prayer meeting, I said, "This is the place for me." And you know, it was a joy to be in the church. As our brother was saying, I've had the joy of travelling around the country with Dr. Paisley. I've been at some tremendous meetings, missions, where precious souls have been won for the Lord. And precious souls have come to know the Lord as their Saviour. But you know, I was made redundant from as an electrician. And in 1975, I joined the Royal Ulster Constabulary. I was only in it for about a year when we were going into a derelict house and there was a booby trap explosion. And my colleague that was carrying the Stirling machine gun, it was bent like that. And all the blast went upwards, but it was only the grace of God that kept us alive. But one of the young men, the young man that was carrying that submachine gun, we witnessed to him many a night. He was an atheist. He had no time for the Saviour. But you know, after that explosion, that young man came to know the Lord as his own personal Saviour. You know, my friend, tonight, I've let the Lord Jesus down so many times, but he has never let me down. He's a wonderful friend. I had no desire anymore for the football. I had no desire. The desire I had was to go and work for the Lord. What's keeping you from coming to the Saviour tonight? Is it some thing of the world? You know, this old world will pass away. But you know, if you come to know the Lord as your Saviour, you know, there's a little verse over in Amos. And Amos tells the people of Israel to prepare to meet their God. Prepare to meet their God. And very briefly and very quickly tonight, I want to ask you, my friend, tonight, that you need to prepare to meet your God. Because someday the Lord is coming back. And will you be ready? You say to me, Tommy, how can I prepare to meet God? My friend, you need to prepare to meet God personally. You need to prepare to meet God personally. My old Sunday school teacher said to me, Tommy, you need to come to know God personally. You say to me, how can I meet God personally? The Bible tells us in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, to come to meet God personally, you need to come through the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And can I warn you tonight, if you don't come to know the Lord as your Saviour, someday you'll meet him as your personal judge. And someday it'll be a personal sentence. And finally, it'll be a personal hell forever. You know, yes, a young man was riding his bicycle one day along the road, and there was tram lines on the road, and his bicycle got caught among the tram lines. And this tram was coming along, and this gentleman saw that he was in danger, and he ran and he grabbed the young man and pulled him, and the tram took the bike right down. The next day, that young man got a shock. He had to go to court. He had done something wrong, and as he was standing in the dock, what a shock he got when he saw the man coming in, the judge. Who was the judge? The judge was the man who had just saved his life the day before. And as the man was sentencing the young man, he said to him, young man, yesterday I was your Saviour, but today I'm your judge. And my friend, will that be you? Today the Lord could be your Saviour, but tomorrow he could be your judge. Oh, you need to come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you need to prepare properly. I needed to prepare properly. You know, I realized, I thought that all my good works was good enough to get me into heaven. But you know, the Bible tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He knew all about the religiosity of the Jewish religion. But he realized that there was something missing. And the Savior said to him, ye must be born again. But of course, like all sinful men, he said, how can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time? But the Savior said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. In other words, I'm not talking about the physical birth. I'm talking about the spiritual birth. And you know, my friend, the Savior said to him, except a man be born again, listen, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friend, if you're not born again, you'll not even see the kingdom of God. Oh, you need to come personally. You need to prepare personally to meet the Savior. But you need to prepare to meet properly. But you know, last of all, you need to prepare promptly. You need to prepare promptly. You know, I could have said to Mr. Stewart, or I could have said, I'll leave it to him a wee bit older. I was 18 when I got saved. I could have said, I'll leave it to when I'm 60 or 70. You know, that booby trap explosion could have took my life. And I wouldn't have had the opportunity of coming to the Savior. You know what the Bible says? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. O friend, take the warning of Amos tonight. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet Him personally. Prepare to meet Him properly. Prepare to meet Him promptly. Just in closing, I lifted a little book the other day, and it told a story about two widows who lived on the Balmoral estate at the time of Queen Victoria. And the two of them fell out, and one said, I want nothing to do with my neighbour. I don't want to see her again. I don't want to speak to her again. I want nothing to do with her. And she went in a rage. She shut the door. She sat beside the fire. And her rage got more and more and more. She heard footsteps coming to the door. She heard a gentle knock on the door. And she said, I'm not answering the door to that woman. I want nothing to do with her. And she heard a louder knock. And she said, I'm going to bed. And she went to bed in a rage. Then she heard the footsteps walking away. The next morning, what normally happens, her rage had gone. And she said, look, I'm as much to blame as my friend. I'm going to make up with her. She went to her friend and she said, look, I'm sorry I didn't open the door to you last night. They hugged and they kissed. And her friend said, dear, I wasn't at your door last night. But I can tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door. She was coming round the houses. And that lady tells in her little book that all the time she lived in Balmoral, Queen Victoria never darkened her door again, never came back to the door again. And she just says in her little book, maybe the King of Kings has been knocking at your heart's door for years. As God's servant has been preaching from this pulpit, God's Holy Spirit's been knocking on your door. My friend, could this be the night? And you've been saying, I'll have nothing to do with him. I'm not going to answer the door. I'm not going to open the door. Could this be the night that the Spirit of God will walk away from you? Remember that verse that my old Sunday school teacher said to me, Tommy, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Maybe tonight, friend, you were at the gospel meeting, the gospel tent mission, and you saw others coming to the Savior. And you know you felt that you needed to come, but you didn't feel, you were afraid, or there was something that kept you back. Oh, I would say to you tonight, come. Come tonight. You can come to the Savior just where you sit in that seat. You can say, Lord Jesus, just as I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood. And you know what the Bible says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh friend, I'm glad that away back in September 1966 that I came and the Lord Jesus Christ accepted me as His, brought me into the family of God. And you know, I can say it is well. It is well with my soul. You know, I've had the joy of seeing my mom and dad come to the Savior. I've had the joy of seeing some of my sisters coming to the Savior. I've only one sister who's not saved, and we're still praying, and I believe that the Lord will save her. You know, if you get saved tonight, you don't know what will happen, how it will transform your family. And believer, tonight, you need to work for the Savior. You know, we need to be up and doing this evil day. Because we'll not be judged for our sins, praise the Lord, but we'll be judged for our service. You know, there's a little hymn that I love to hear being sang. By and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had more. Oh friend, tonight in this meeting, without the Lord, don't go out that door without him. I just pray that you might come to know my Savior, and that my Savior may be your Savior too. Amen.